Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Despite the rose-tinted glasses that some politicians have been using to look back on the state of the economy prior to the onset of the pandemic, the hard truth is that millions of workers and their families have been struggling mightily for years thanks to a toxic combination of falling wages, lack of access to health insurance, and poor workplace safety protections. Earlier this week, I learned more about this situation in a phone conversation with one of our state's most knowledgeable and outspoken advocates for the workers of the state, North Carolina AFL-CIO Communications Director Jeremy Sprinkle. As Sprinkle observed, one of the great tragedies of this situation is that we know what to do. The problem lies with politicians who refuse to listen or, by all indications, care. Well, Jeremy Sprinkle, welcome to News and Views. It's really great to have you with us.
Rob, thanks so much for inviting us to be on your radio program. Always appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
Well, the times are amazing right now, and as a worker advocate, you are in a position to see some of the most significant impacts of this pandemic that has afflicted our state and our nation. You know, we've just gotten past Labor Day, of course, and it's a time where we reflect upon sort of the state of working people and working North Carolina. For a lot of people right now, times are pretty darn tough.
It's definitely tough. People in North Carolina, working people, are struggling really in a way that they've never had to struggle before. And some of that is carryover struggle from things that we had to deal with before the pandemic. But right now, it's really crucial. America faces crises on three critical fronts. Mm-hmm. Public health pandemic, economic freefall, and longstanding structural racism. And especially for our black and brown brothers and sisters in North Carolina, it's really never been a more difficult time just to make ends meet and get by.
Yeah, for so many people in our state, even before the pandemic, we know for a fact that the minimum wage was stuck in a past era. It's so low. So many people were struggling just with finding decent jobs and holding on to them. And then you lay this pandemic on top of it and the recession it's caused. And the reality is that it's literally a sizable chunk of North Carolinians are facing sort of existential problems in terms of survival, in terms of staying in the places that they live, much less finding decent work at a fair wage with safe conditions. And we know, of course, that also a lot of the people who have managed to stay employed are working in really dangerous conditions without much protection.
That's true. And it's important to remember that before the pandemic was on anybody's radar, surveys found that a majority of Americans couldn't withstand a $400 unexpected expense, that half of Americans live on the edge of poverty. And that's before we even hit this. So there were people who were getting by, maybe even by the skin of their teeth before the pandemic, and the pandemic hits, and people who are now unemployed because of the pandemic, they're facing that crisis. And then there's all the people who are still working, forced to work throughout because they're essential workers. But the policies that we have in place in North Carolina at the federal level don't treat them like, the essential workers. America's minimum wage has been stuck at $7.25 for over a decade. How is a poverty wage respecting essential workers? There's no infectious disease standard for employees. So people who are working through the pandemic go to work, but their employers aren't being required to take the steps necessary to keep them safe while they're on the job. And these are the people who check us out at the grocery store and keep our stores shelf stocked. These are the farm workers who grow and harvest our food, the postal workers who continue to deliver us day in and day out. And of course, the health workers, the first responders who don't get a day off, who can't keep socially distant, the bus drivers who are continuing to deliver people to work. I mean, there are so many people right now who are affected by what's going on. And I think it's really put the lie to any notion that we had that the status quo before the pandemic was acceptable, when so many people are on the verge of poverty and homelessness, then clearly the status quo isn't acceptable. And we need to build back better than what we have. and have a stronger foundation for working people going forward.
One of the programs, of course, that maybe actually did make a bit of a dent in the pandemic and in the impact it was having on average people, but now, of course, has expired, was the temporary unemployment insurance enhancement that the federal government provided for a while, but now has let it go. And, of course, North Carolina's unemployment insurance is widely recognized as perhaps the stingiest in the nation. Talk to us about unemployment insurance and the huge challenge that's posed by the fact that our system is so inadequate.
Well, we have an unemployment insurance system because it was a lesson learned from the Great Depression. I mean, people are out of work and they still need to survive. And the businesses that depend on them for their food, for their clothes, they need that money to come in. And the people who keep the lights on, the utilities, the landlords, everybody needs money flowing through the economy. And unemployment insurance is critical to that. So it was really important, especially in North Carolina, which does have the worst unemployment insurance system in the country, which pays too little in benefits to too few people for too short a duration. It was critical that the House led and the Congress passed and the White House, the President signed the CARES Act into law, which provided an additional $600 a week in federal unemployment benefits. $600 a week is $15 an hour for 40 hours. But the fact is that without that supplement, people in North Carolina on average will be making, if they even qualified for our stingy benefits, less than $300 a week. So the extension of those federal unemployment benefits was crucial. It kept the contraction of the economy from being even worse than it already was. And that's why on May 15th, the House passed an extension of that additional unemployment insurance as part of a package called the HEROES Act on May 15th. And the Senate had all summer after that to debate this bill and pass it to extend federal unemployment insurance beyond its expiration at the end of July. But they failed to do their job in the Senate. And now we have people in North Carolina who, if they haven't run out the clock on their unemployment benefits, are getting the lowest benefits in the country. And it's not sustainable, not for the people who receive them, but also not for our state and local economies or governments.
And a lot of that decision-making about, of course, our state unemployment insurance system is made by our General Assembly. The General Assembly reconvened recently for a very brief session, which they appropriated a little bit more in the way of relief. But there was a lot of concern that were a lot of things that the General Assembly didn't do as a part of its so-called relief package. And some of the money that they did spend was actually targeted to people who were already doing pretty well. Did you have any sort of reaction to the package that the General Assembly brought forward in their little brief session a week or so ago?
Well, jobless workers need more than an additional $50 a week and to the maximum that they can receive in unemployment benefits. You know, people need to be able to eat, keep the lights on, and keep a roof over their head. And the fact is that people who qualified for benefits in North Carolina, most of them got nowhere near the maximum. So the legislature could have undone the cruel cuts that it made to the unemployment insurance program before the pandemic, a reversal that we have been calling for years. But they chose not to. They also could have expanded Medicaid to provide health coverage for 500,000 North Carolinians who definitely need it now more than ever. But they chose not to expand Medicaid. They could have directed the North Carolina Department of Labor, which has been totally derelict in its duty before the pandemic and certainly during the pandemic. They could have directed DOL to enact an emergency infectious disease standard to protect workers, but they didn't. They could have provided guaranteed paid sick leave for everyone in North Carolina, but they didn't. You know, they could have supported the people who work in our entertainment industry. Our entertainment industry was the first to close and will be the last to reopen. And they could have made it easier for people who work in this industry to qualify for unemployment benefits. They could have provided direct support for venues. They could have suspended alcohol license payments for places that can't even be open right now. They chose not to do that. They chose not to do these things. And now voters get a choice on whether the anti-worker legislators who made these choices get to stay in office or will be replaced by elected officials who will choose to side for working people.
Well, and speaking of that, the AFL-CIO will be very active, of course, in the next several weeks up until the election. The election effectively already ongoing with the distribution of voting by mail and absentee ballots already taking place. I know you all have a big convention scheduled for the end of September, but there's also town halls that have been going on. And talk to us a little bit about some of the activities you all have been engaged in to mobilize your members and try to activate working people throughout the state in the election.
Well, as in every cycle, we run an union member-led endorsement program, a democratic process that invites candidates to fill out questionnaires, to come in for an interview, and to have their candidacy voted on for endorsement. We've endorsed a slate of candidates in local races and statewide races across North Carolina. We've published our voter guide on our website, which is aflcionc.org. We've had town halls over the summer to create opportunities for union members, retirees, and their families to engage with our endorsed candidates. So we're continuing to do the best that we can to create opportunities for people to engage with our endorsed candidates, to learn more about why these endorsements matter. I mean, the politics are connected to the policy. The politics of the moment are about having people in place in the future who will enact the policies that working people need to survive now and to build back better in the future. And we are creating another opportunity for our members to engage with an annual convention that would have been held in person in Raleigh, but because of the pandemic, will now be at home. Our 63rd annual convention is coming up at the end of the month, and we're very excited. We have exciting speakers, including Sarah Steffens, Secretary Treasurer with the Communications Workers of America, Fred Redmond, the International Vice President of the Steelworkers Union. Governor Cooper will be speaking at our convention at the end of the month, including other endorsed candidates like Cal Cunningham, Jessica Holmes. We even have a union member who's running for office in Western North Carolina, Alan Jones, a steelworker that is running for North Carolina House District 118. He's going to be speaking. While our convention's not open to the general public, any union members or retirees in North Carolina who are members of an affiliate of the AFL in good standing can register either as delegates or guests. And there's more information about that on our website. Again, that's aflcionc.org.
Well, Jeremy Sprinkle, thank you so much for all the work you do for the working people of our state. Good luck to you. Good luck to you with the events that you'll be hosting and spearheading in the days and weeks ahead. And the next time we chat, perhaps we'll be talking about some better news for working people. We sure hope so.
We hope so as well. And thank you, Rob. And thanks for all the hard work that you and everybody else does at NC Policy Watch.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. Please wear your mask, stay safe as best you can, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.